be the first to hear my bluegrass guitar debut on episode number 65 of Bits of Bryn. Welcome to episode number 65 of Bits of Bryn. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. I'm a little under the weather today. There's a pretty bad bug going around and I caught it, so I'm going to the doctor's tomorrow, which is good. The biggest downside is I sound like a smoker, so I could sing a song for you. We'll see. Oh baby, baby, how was I supposed to know? Get what I mean? So hopefully I'll get better soon. What I want to talk about in this podcast is guitar lessons. I started bluegrass guitar lessons this month. I have taken 4 lessons, and what he's having me learn is to play with a pick. And you see, I've been self-taught for about 2 years now, and I never played with a pick because they kind of frightened me because I couldn't play with them very. And so now I'm being forced to learn, and I'll tell you, like, picks, they really improve the tone. I'll show you. This is just me with my fingers. I'm just strumming with my fingers. And then if I pick up the pick, it sounds like this. If you can tell, it's not only louder, but the strings are a lot more bright, and there's a crispness to the tone that I can't get with the dull picking of my fingers. So it's a work in progress, but I'm already getting a lot better and a lot more comfortable with the pick. I'm learning a song. It was the first country song ever recorded. It's called The Wildwood Flower by June Carter, and I'm learning how to play that song. I'll play it for you right now. I don't know the words or anything, but this is we're going to document my progress as a bluegrass guitar player, and I'm bound to mess up, but that is okay because I'm practicing and I'm really liking. Excuse me, I sound like I'm 90. Where it's going. So here it is, The Wildwood Flower. Hold on, just a sec. The chord's in the way. Go away. All right, let's start over. So there you go. I'm excited about where it's going. It's having so much fun at guitar lessons. It's been a total blast so far. And I'm looking forward to getting better at the guitar and just being able to understand it, have a deeper understanding and be able to be confident with jamming with other musicians and be able to have the knowledge I need to write good country songs. I have a gig coming up this Saturday at a coffee shop in Salt Lake City. I'm excited. My friend from school, he came up to me one day and he says, "Hey, my boss heard your stuff off your website and he wants you to come play." I said, "Okay." So I've got a performance this Saturday at 7:00 and I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have an all acoustic set and I'm looking forward to it. So I was going to play you a new original song that I've been working on, but I tried singing it and I can't hit the note today. My range, I went to the piano and I figured out what my range was today. I've basically lost an octave and I've gained 4 notes at the bottom of my range. So I'm going to have to improvise. So what I'm going to play for you today is a folk song. It's called Green Sleeves, and I'm sure you know this song. And I'm going to do my very best to sing it, and hopefully I won't sound like a strangled cat. Here goes nothing. Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me discourteously, for I have loved you well and long delighting in your company. Green sleeves was all my joy, green sleeves was my delight, green sleeves was my heart of gold, and who but my lady green. So, I went to a concert on Saturday. I went to see Mandy Moore in concert, and I'm so happy about that. If you'll recall, about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I did the Idol of the Week, you know, the Pick of the Week, and I sang I Wanna Be With You by Mandy Moore, and I talked about how she was a big influence on me to be an entertainer. She was the biggest influence to make me want to be a singer. And so I was so glad that she was in Utah, and so I got to go see her in concert. And Rachel Yamagata was also performing with her, and so was Chris Stills. And I recorded some podcast segments at the concert with my iTalk, and I actually interviewed Rachel Yamagata and Chris Stills from the podcast. I tried to interview Mandy Moore. I got really close. I was so excited. The house manager, I talked to the house manager, and I had the house manager talk to the tour manager for me. And the tour manager said I couldn't get in because I didn't have a press pass. So that's what I'm going to be working on next. But it was a lot of fun, and I got a lot of great things. And I'll play you a bit of the music that I heard. I don't know how good the recording will be, but I just want to share with you how awesome this concert was, and all right, let's put this together. I am here at the Avalon Church waiting in line to see Mandy Moore in concert. I'm not even sure if we're going to get in. It's raining and there's a lot of people out in here lying, so I'm going to interview them and see what they're doing here. Okay, go check it out.
I love Christina Aguilera.
Could I interview you for my podcast?
Sure.
All right, I'm here to ask you why you're out here standing in the rain waiting to see Mandy Moore.
Because my daughter loves Mandy Moore.
And why do you love Mandy Moore?
Because she's a good actress and she's pretty.
And she has good values.
Interview?
Yeah.
What, interview for what?
He's the biggest Mandy Moore.
Is he?
Yeah, I kind of am, you know, no big deal. Sure.
I want to ask you why you're standing out here in the rain waiting to see Mandy Moore.
Why am I standing out here?
Yeah.
Just to see Mandy Moore, of course.
What does she mean to you?
She means a lot to me. She's helped me a lot through the years and everything like that. So just trying to support her as much as I can.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
We're really excited to see Rachel Yamagata, actually.
Yeah.
We're totally stoked for Rachel Yamagata.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I was bored and it's Saturday and I had nothing else to do.
After I interviewed people waiting in line, I did get into the venue and I wanted to see if it was possible if I could interview Mandy Moore. So I went and shopped around and I bumped into the house manager, and this is what happened.
Okay. Also,
wondering, can I get in with the tour manager? I want to see if I can arrange a quick 5-minute interview with Mandy Moore.
For
a podcast.
I'll have to go find him, and then I'll talk to him and see.
All right, so the house manager went and talked to the tour manager for me, and the tour manager said that they already gave someone the opportunity, but then they didn't have a press pass. So I need to have a press pass for one of that sort of thing.
So there you have it. I didn't have a press pass, so I could not interview her, but it was a lot of fun trying, and I'm going to look into getting one of those for the next concert that I go to, so maybe I can land an interview with the headline act. This next part, I'm going to play for you 30 seconds of the live performance of Wild Hope. This is a remix, psychedelic version that they performed. I really, really enjoyed the concert. I had a great view. My father and I were just standing around in front of the stage in the middle of the mosh pit. It was really fun. So this is a clip. The next thing that happened in the concert was I got to see Mandy Moore's debut on the guitar. Apparently she's been taking for 6 weeks with her guitarist in the band teaching her. And she played along with one of her songs. And I got the biggest kick out of watching it. They tuned the guitar to the chord. And so all she had to do was press down one string. And she had her pick, and she would strum down once every measure. And it was awesome watching her just get up and do it and try new things. And I thought that was so commendable that she was growing as an artist and doing that. And she wasn't afraid to do it in front of a lot of people. And I think I really admire her bravery and confidence to do that. I think it was really excellent. Throughout the show, they did a few covers, and I was really surprised with one of the covers that they did, because they did such a unique and original arrangement on this song. I did not recognize it until the lyrics of the chorus came in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is Rihanna's Umbrella. It was really funny, but they did a really, really great job on making that song their own, and they did that with all the songs that they covered. The musicianship at this concert was exquisite. They did a really, really great job. She had just a wonderful band. So I interviewed a few people after the concert. I'm only gonna play one of them for you because I think it was the best. This guy was standing next to me throughout the entire concert, and he was singing along with all the songs next to me, so I thought I'd interview him, and he said something really interesting, and I'll elaborate on that in just a moment.
What? Can I interview you for my podcast really fast?
Sure.
All right. You're a fan of Mandy Moore, right?
Yeah, big fan.
Did you enjoy the concert? How much did you enjoy the concert?
I loved it. It was awesome.
What was your favorite part?
Probably when she did Nothing That You Are, but I kind of liked I don't know if you call it the psychedelic twist to the Wild Hope. That was really nifty. I don't know. I've been waiting for her to go on tour since I was 14.
Have you really? I've been waiting to go on tour since I was 9.
Since you were 9?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 15.
15? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, since I was 14. So back when she first came out with Candy. Yeah. That one.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Mandy Moore has never been on tour before. She has been in this business since she was 14. She's 23 now, and she's on her very first tour, and it's only 6 weeks long. She has recently broken free. She's recently broke free from her record label, Sony. Her early career, she was packaged up. She was given music, and she was made out to be like a Britney Spears wannabe. And I was this little girl I think it was 9. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. 8 years ago. I was 7 years old. I was 7. And I wanted to be just like Mandy Moore. And like she is, as an adult, she is absolutely humiliated by the music on her first two albums. And why Mandy Moore impresses me so much today is that she was able to rise above the package. She was made out to be exactly like Britney Spears, exactly like Christina Aguilera, and she was given the same type of bubblegum pop music to sing, and she was able to make something of herself, and she was able to not sell out and not use her body to gain popularity. She was really smart with her career, and she used movies and magazines, and she has grown so much as an artist, and she's been able to keep a steady career for all these years, and I just find that so amazing because no one else has done that. Her album coverage, even though I didn't really like the album very much because it was all covers, that album was so transformational for her as an artist because she did that album all by herself without the label. She paid for it herself and she was singing music that she wanted. Even though it was all music that had been published before, all the songs that she'd been singing her whole career were really just covers to her because she didn't write them. Someone else wrote them, and so she was just singing other people's music this whole time. So the difference this time was this is music that she wanted to sing, not music that her label wanted her to sing. And even though I didn't like it as much, that album taught her how to make it without the label. And because of that, she has now absolutely blossomed into this wonderful artist, singer-songwriter, and she is on her very first tour, and she's done all this all by herself. She has risen above the package. I think that is absolutely amazing. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to be strong enough to take control of my career and to direct it and go where I want to go. She's amazing. She's living her dream finally. She is there. She is achieving her goals and she's doing it without a label. And I think that the place that she was performing, the Avalon Theater, it is just this rundown little place off of State Street. It looks like a beat up old movie house. And she was sincerely thrilled to be there. She was all choked up and she was thanking the audience so much for being there and for filling the venue. And she was just so happy because she was finally free. And I just think that's wonderful. I want to learn from her success and hopefully be able to take that knowledge and apply it towards my journey into gaining independence in music and success and being able to write my own music and have my own album with everything that I've always wanted on it. And you know, she's just, maybe it's 7 years old all over again. I want to be like Mandy Moore because she did this, she did that. But anyway, she's always been a big inspiration to me, and I guess she's continuing to be an inspiration to me. I haven't liked all of her latest stuff, all of her movies, but I really respect the career decisions that she has made, and I think that she's a smart cookie. Getting back to what happened to me at the concert, I was walking around with my iTalk, and that after the concert, and that's when the bass guitarist walked right past me.
Talk from Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of being on tour with Mandy Moore? I do a podcast.
I can't answer. I gotta meet somebody.
Okay.
So there you have it. The words of wisdom from Mandy Moore's bass guitarist. I swear he is identical to the actor who plays Peter Petrelli in the TV show Heroes. I felt pretty silly shoving a microphone in everyone's face, but I guess it's all part of journalism, I suppose, or podcasting. So This next part is an interview that I got with Chris Stills, the man that was on tour with Mandy and Rachel. And he was a brilliant guitarist. I was so impressed. He was really, really good, and I liked his music. I felt kind of silly about this interview because I had this great question all lined up, but then I got really close to him, and he was so handsome that I forgot what my question was. And so I asked the silly question, and, you know, I don't really know why I asked a songwriter how songwriting affected their career, but I did, and this is what I got.
A podcast on the music industry. Can I ask you a few quick questions?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How has songwriting affected your career?
Oh, I got one. Thank you. It's my whole life. It's how has it affected my career?
Yeah, based on would you have gotten covers or how has like it affected where you can play venues and things like that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what it's all about. I mean, the songs that you write and the songs that you play are what gets you in the door. So I'm here today, and I'm lucky, and I'm happy to be here, and I've had a long career with its ups and downs, and, you know, I got this new record coming out on Fanista, and and I'm just really excited to have another record out that's on iTunes right now, and it'll be on this, like I said, the site, and, you know, just still shaking them and moving them now. You know?
Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good night.
So I made a pretty big fool of myself right there, but that's okay. It's all a learning experience. As long as I learn from my mistakes, I can make as many mistakes as I want, I guess. So this is an interview that I got with Rachel Yamagata, and I had already asked Chris Stills how a songwriting affected your career, and that wasn't a very good question, so I changed it a bit and asked her how it affected her life and career. I know it's kind of silly to ask the career thing again, but I was so rushed and so nervous, I didn't really know what else to say. But I said it, and this interview is so much better, and I was so glad that I was able to land this interview, and she was a really great girl, and glad I got to meet her.
Oh, wow, look at that.
It's an iTalk. I love it.
Nice.
So I'm interviewing Rachel Yamagata after her concert. I'm going to ask her a few questions. How has songwriting affected your life and your career?
How has songwriting affected my life and career? Oh my goodness, well, songwriting kind of gave me a career because I'm working professionally, thank goodness, with my writings. And in terms of my life, I guess it's kind of just a creative outlet and a bit of a therapy for me, and in terms of how I process life around me and relationships and that kind of thing. And so it's pretty fantastic on both levels.
What has been your biggest inspiration in this business?
Oh, goodness. My biggest inspiration in this business? Probably just the people you meet. I mean, it's all about just expressing yourself and relating to people, and that's what fascinates me. And whether it's in, you know, playing music with somebody or learning about them and meeting them in different parts of the world, it's just constantly changing and cool and keeps me going, and then I write about it, and that perpetuates the cycle, and it's all good. So
thank you so much. Good luck with everything.
Thanks, darling.
Nice
Thanks
to meet
so
you.
Much. Good to meet you.
So that was my adventure at the Mandy Moore and Rachel Yamagata and Chris Stills concert last Saturday. I learned a lot from it, and I'm thinking about a lot of things, and I'm just glad that I can watch other musicians and just take little things that I enjoy from their performances and try to learn from them and just try to become a better musician by learning and watching and then doing. And I thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I appreciate everyone that stays subscribed to my show. Tell your friends about my podcast. I'm going to be doing another episode. My next topic is I'm going to talk about the Englishman who purchased EMI record label. I'm going to have a few things to say about that on the next episode. And thank you so much for tuning into my show. I do appreciate it. And I hope that you have a great week. Over and out.